One quick word on the Perasha, Rabotai. Of course, after Asha, is the Berachot of Bil'am al-Asha. And at one of his speeches that he makes, he says, "Matobu ohalecha Yaakov eshkenoteka Yisrael." This has become the pasuk. Bil'am has made it famous, and because of this pasuk, he's given many hazanim parnasa. This is the pasuk that the hazanim sing at every wedding. "Matobu ohalecha Yaakov." It's referring to the tents. Ohalecha Yaakov is the ohalim, is the tents. It's the Jewish home. And he says, Mishkenoteka Yisrael, that the Jewish home is like a mishkan. It's like a tabernacle. It's like a Beit HaMikdash. Rashi comes along and says, Matobu ohalecha al shira'a pitchehem she'enam mechuvanim ze mul ze. He saw that their doors are not facing each other. He saw that there was a tziniut. The Jewish homes, the people weren't looking into each other's homes. The Jewish people weren't jealous of each other. He was impressed by it. Mm-hmm. This is a simple interpretation. The Zohar HaKadosh writes that there are three items that are connected to each other. Zohar HaKadosh says, Yisrael ve'oraita kodesh berichu hadhu. There are three things that are linked to each other. One is Bnei Yisrael. One is Oraita, which is the Torah. And the other is kodesh berichu. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, Hadhu. They're all connected. The Sfarim ask a question, which is an important question to finally get to the bottom of it. We are told that we must follow a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and connect ourselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'atem ha-devekim v'adonai Elohechem ha'im kolechem ha'yom. But they don't tell us how you're supposed to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How in the world is a human being that's made out of flesh and blood able to connect to a God that's made out of fire? The pasuk says about God, Esh Ochela. So it's impossible. If you're telling somebody to go and put himself in an oven. He cannot put himself in an oven. He won't be able to exist in the oven for 1 second. And here the Torah is coming to tell us, they want us to attach. And the Gemara says, Hayim kolechem. How can you attach the fire and you can still remain alive? And Kadosh Baruch Hu is so great. We read the Sefer Kabbalah, and they talk about the original light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Before the world was in existence, there was a light. It was called Or Ein Sof. This light was from one end of the world to the end. That's all there was in the world. There was no world. It was just Or Ein Sof. God could not create a world where that Or Ein Sof was. Because if we would create the world where that Or Ein Sof was, you know what would happen to the world? It would be destroyed. It's like trying to create a world in a nuclear after a nuclear bomb, in the bomb itself. It would not happen. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do? He made tzimtzumim, ahar tzimtzumim, ahar tzimtzumim. He had to pull the light away and put filters on the light and minimize the light and remove the light. And the whole got out to all talking on how many filters had to be made. So just a drop of the ore should be able to come out. The Baruch has to be in the world, obviously. That the world will be able to exist. And the Zohar, if there would be a little more ore that would come down, then the world would be destroyed. I mean, it's that sensitive. We're not talking examples, we're talking reality. The ore has to be, it's like a lab deal. A person has, electricity. if they put too much electricity into the wires, he blows the fuse. It's too much. He overloaded it. The thing burns out. Similarly, I could have requested him to tamtam the oil. Otherwise,
right.
So, but it's exactly the perfect amount. Could you believe it? And from that little amount of ore that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down, look what you have as a result of it. This whole world and Hashem Ha'aretz Mlo'ah is just the result of the filtered ore. Could you imagine when it's unfiltered, the type of world would it be? The type of olam it is? That's olam haba. That's a different level. My point is, the ore is very strong. And then they tell us, you have to hold on to it, you have to attach yourself to it, you have to be close to the Shekhinah. How is it possible? So the answer is a big answer. The answer is based, you need something in between. Which means, if you have a fire and you have food, you cannot put the food directly on the fire because the fire is going to burn, the fire is going to burn the food. So what do you put in between? A pot. The pot is able to be a buffer between the food and the fire, and it's able to cause it that it'll get hot, but it, and yet it won't burn. You need to put something in between. However, you don't just put a pot, you have to put water in the pot. Because if you don't put water in the pot, it's gonna get burned. So therefore, you have to figure out what's the pot. The pot is a buffer. It's something in between. It has food in the pot, the water, but it also has the element of heat. So you found something in between, because the food is food and the heat is heat. You have to put something that has the traits of both. The pot has the traits of both. It conducts heat, but it also has water in it. So therefore, since it has a part of both, it has part food, part heat, so it's the perfect buffer. And sometimes I said something deep just now. A pot with food in it is the go-between, because the water represents the food that you're putting in it, and the pot which conducts heat represents the fire. So therefore you made shalom. You found somebody in the middle that can make peace between the fire and the food. A pot of water. A pot of water. The water says, I can get along with this guy because I have my food. I'm a me, no. And the pot says, I can get along with the fire. We both conduct electricity. So the pot is the perfect peacemaker, because he can relate to both sides. When you're making peace, you need to hear both sides. So a pot filled with water can say, I hear the food, I hear the fire. It both makes sense to me. So the fire says, I trust you. And the food says, I trust you. I'm giving you my child. So therefore, it's the perfect go-between. Yisrael is physical. We're human beings. We're physical. We're the ultimate physical. And Kutch HaBerichu is all spiritual. So how in the world are you supposed to put a physical and attach it to a spiritual? By the way, don't take what I'm saying for granted, because according to one of the opinions, this is the Kavanah in the Berachah Asher Yasaf. When we say Rofechol Basar Umafli La'asot, God, your creation is a pele. One of the interpretations is, Mishnah Berurah brings down, the pele is, how do you put in the human being who's physical and you attach the neshama that's spiritual, how do you put two opposites? How do two opposites coexist? That's the umafli la'azot. You cannot put fire and water in the same pen. In the same pen, it will not go. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes neshama, which is all spiritual, and physical, which is all body, and he intertwines it together. So even the Hakamim said it's a shocker, so much so that you have to say a beracha every time, and you have to say umafila asot the pele. And when do you mention this pele? When you do the most physical action, which is what? Go to the bathroom. You say, I just came out of the bed, which is the ultimate physical thing that a person can do, and still have it in Shema in me. How can it be? The person that has excretions at the same time he has in the Shema, when a guy comes out of bed, he thinks to himself, impossible. Umafila asot. It's a wonder how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to fuse it together. But then the question is, Be'emet, how does he fuse it together? How does it work? So you need to find a buffer. What's the pot in this mashal? What's the pot in our story? The pot is Torah, all right. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Torah is that perfect medium between physical and spiritual. Torah is spiritual, doesn't talk. Torah is spiritual, Rabotai. Torah is the Torah Hashem. So it's the word of God. It's Hashem's opinion. That when a person is studying Torah, you're taking a tour of God's brain. This is the Da'at Hashem. You're studying and analyzing the process of Hashem's thinking. It's not normal. It's not normal. The Chafet Otiyot, the 22 letters of the Torah, the 22 letters that God used to create the world. These are not just an alphabet. This is a creative alphabet, creative Torah. But the Torah also, mind you, is physical. Because what does the Torah say? Take tefillin and put on the tefillin. What's tefillin? Basically, tefillin is an animal. Tefillin is the cloth, it's the hide of the animal. The boxes are made out of the hide of the animal as well, the leather. So the Torah clearly is a physical Torah. All the mitzvot are physical. Torah says, take money. Money is physical, give it to tzedakah. Torah says, take a lulav and etrog. Lulav and etrog, you have to plant a tree, you have to have a fit. So the Torah is that perfect mizug between something that's ruhani and something that's gashmi. By taking a lulav and etrog, I'm able to all of a sudden fulfill the mitzvah, which is spiritual. The Torah is that perfect go-between. So Borei Olam says, if you want to connect to me, you need a buffer. You need a mediator. Who's the mediator? The Torah. Once a person studies Torah, so the person says, I can relate to Torah. Torah is physical. What does God say? This is good media. I can relate to the Torah. Torah is me. Torah is ruhani. So therefore, the Zohar HaKadosh was very careful when it said, Yisrael ve'oraita kuchabirichu. The Zohar put it in a very specific order. The Zohar put oraita in between. Because it's saying the goal is that Yisrael should be one with kuchabirichu. That's the hadu. Hadu means that you have to be one with God. But how are you going to be one with God? So the way Yisrael and Kutchaberichu bind themselves, how? Through the middle, the tunnel. What's the tunnel? The tunnel is called Oraita. That's why studying Torah is very, very key. People think that we study Torah only for knowledge. They study Torah only to get Yidiot. And that's why a lot of times they'll come to a class, and they'll see that the class is not halakha l'ma'aseh. You know, it doesn't give them something practical. So they say, what do we need a Torah for? I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning to learn about some odd law that doesn't apply, never applied, it doesn't affect me. But you don't understand it. Sometimes the study of Torah is not only to give you practical knowledge. The reason why you're studying Torah is to connect. It's to connect. Which is, no matter what part of Torah that you study, it's connector. What do I care what pot you use? If you use an egg pan or you use a 10-gallon pot, doesn't matter the pot. As long as you have the buffer, the curriculum is immaterial for this point. If you're interested in becoming a scholar to know halakha, then you're right, they have to study things in a Nogaya. But a person might come out of a shiur and they tell him, what did you gain today? You know, the guy was talking about the mitzvah of Yibum. Yibum, I don't make Yibum. I'm interested in making. Who makes Yibum? In Yibum is manazeh. Stuff that I'll never use. But he doesn't realize that as a result of coming to the shi'ud, you're plugged to Hashem, you're connected to Hashem. So oraita, on any level, makes that connection. We once explained, there was a great rabbi called the Benu Ari. The Benu Ari, he wrote a song. We don't have too many actual things from the Benu Ari. Amazingly enough, we have his songs. One of the songs we sing in the Bakashot, Yom Ze Yisrael Orav Simcha. And we also have a song written by the Benu Ari that we sing on Friday night. That's called Azamed Bishbachim. We must take that song very seriously because he penned it himself. And I'm telling you, we don't have too many things that the Arizal wrote himself. Most of the things of the Arizal was from the Talmidim, from Chaim Vital. So when you have a song that he wrote himself, the level is incredible. And every word has to be studied like you're studying Kabbalah. In one of the lines there he says, Bevavin titkatar. Bevavin titkatar. What does he mean over there? Bevavin is Vav. The letter Vav. Bevavin, with the Vav, titkatar. What is titkatar? Kitur is a knot. Kitra is a knot. So he's talking about something that we tie ourselves, we bind ourselves. Titkatar, how? Bevavin. Okay, only the Arizal knows. What do you mean, Bevavin titkatar? Here's the Vav. Here's the Vav, here's Vavin. There's two Vavin, Bravo, titkatar. You wouldn't know where to begin. So the Mephashim explain it as follows. I don't want to take you back to 7th grade Dikduk, but if you remember, the Vav is be able to be spelled three different ways. If I were to ask you how to spell the letter Vav, how would you spell it?
Vav.
Bingo. So your first way is Vav Vav. I cannot argue with you, by the way. And if I told you to spell it a different way, how would you spell it?
Vav
Vav Aleph Vav. Which is Vav. Also good. And if I told you to spell it the third way, Vav Yud Vav.
Wow.
You can spell it three ways. That's a fact. The three ways of spelling a Vav is very significant. Why? Because Vav Vav is how much?
12.
That represents Yisrael. Jewish people is 12 tribes. Vav, Aleph Vav is how much?
13.
13 is Ehad. That's Kutcha Berichu, that's God. Vav, Yud Vav is how much? 22. That's the 22 letters of the Torah. That's the Oraita. And therefore, the Vavs over here represent the three items. And therefore, the Berua Ari was telling us that how do we connect Takadosh Baruch Hu? Bevavin titkatar. Bevavin, with this secret of the Vavin, of the Vav Aleph, Vav Yud Vav, the Vav Vav, Bevavin titkatar. And what's the secret of Bevavin titkatar? With the Oraita. The Oraita, as long as the Oraita is in the middle, then Bevavin titkatar. Yisrael and Kutcha Berich Hu are able to bind themselves together. As long as the middle one is in existence. And that's why in Dikduk, they call that Vav that they put in the beginning of a word, they call it Vav Achibur. You ever hear Vav Achibur? In grammar they say, for example, Ani ochel tapuchim ve'tapuzim. I'm eating apples and oranges. So that Vav on ve'tapuzim is, what's a Vav? It's a connection. It combines. Not only this, but also this. That's called Vav Achibur. But the sod of Vav Achibur, the secret of Vav Achibur, is referring to the Torah, which is Vav Achibur. What is it, Mechaber? Yisrael and Kutcha Berich Hu. The Vav Achibur is the Torah itself. That's why, no coincidence, why the Torah was given on Rav Sivan. That's why the Gemara says that the size of the Luchot was 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. All the sixes, Shishatad Remishnah, you see a lot of the sixes when it comes to Torah, because it's referring to the middle Vav, and this is called the Vav Achibur. So learning Torah is essential to make the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We once explained based on this. There's a pasuk in Kohelet. The pasuk says, "Matir ozno mishemoa Torah, gam tefilato to'eba." If a person closes his ears from hearing Torah, matir ozno. I'm not interested. Gam tefilato to'eba. God says his prayer also is abominable to me. And the rabbis ask a question: what's one thing got to do with the other? The guy doesn't like to learn, but he likes to pray. God says, you don't learn?
No, sir.
Don't pray either. Well, certain guys like this, certain guys like that. So in previous shiurim we explained that it's referring to why would a person close his ears to Torah? A person loves Torah. Why would a person close his ears? Unless he heard it already. Rabbis have a tendency to repeat. Not only in our generation, from the times of the Mishnah, Huaya Omer. Huaya Omer. He to say the same thing over and over again. Oh, I got one there. It's the same. So you see, a guy comes to the shiur expecting to hear a chidush, and all of a sudden the rabbi is taking the same stuff off the shelf, and he's recycled it with a little different salt and pepper, but it's the same stuff. So the guy comes up and says, the rabbi's going, that I heard it every year the same stuff. Okay, you know what? He makes himself a bagel. He said, do me a favor, Shabbat Shalom. I got it. His wife says, hey, how come you came up so early? The rabbi finished early today? Nah, every year the same, recycled, the recycling bin. He's taking the same. How many times did he hear this? I know exactly what he's going to, before he says it, I can tell you what he's going to say. This guy over here is like a, he's like a parrot, the guy. He's a broken record. Every year the same. For the first 8 years, I tolerated this. Every year we have the same on Nushim. So the Pasuk says, no problem. God says when the guy comes that afternoon to pray Mincha, what does he tell the guy?
84.
I heard this same Amidah you're praying for 50 years, Amidah. So the Pasuk says, Masir ozno meshemo haTorah. The guy comes along and closes his ears because it's a repeat. God says, Gam tefilato to'eba, your tefilah is a repeat also. If you want me to listen to your repetitive tefilot that you say over and over again, you have to tolerate to listen to the repetitiveness of Torah. And the Chamaruch always would tell us, and we know this from the rabbi, it's never a repeat. Exactly. There's always a nuance. There's always something that you pick up that you didn't pick up. 100%. Chanan Vassaman Hashem Yimkon Damav went to the shul of the Hafez Chaim. After the shiur of the Hafez Chaim, the students went to Rabbi Chanan and said, he said the shiur last year. So Rabbi Chanan said, no, he changed 3 words. Yeah, they're listening. Everything is medagdek. And from those 3 words, he learned a different lesson. So therefore, that's the way we explained it in previous years. But based on the way we're explaining it today, we have a different interpretation. What does the word tefillah mean? Don't tell me prayer. Prayer is not tefillah doesn't mean prayer. Tefillah, interesting, is the same word that we call tefillin. Tefillah shel yad, which means an individual tefillin, which is the set. Individually we call each item a tefillah. Tefillah shel yad, tefillah shel rosh. Together we call it, plural, tefillin. What in the world could tefillin and tefillah, it comes from the same root. The Mefarshim explained that the word tefillah means to connect, to bind yourself, to attach yourself. So when a person comes along and makes a tefillah, what is he doing? He's trying to make a connection with him and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Chaim Brim Alav HaShalom used to tell us that to the tzaddikim, there's nothing greater than making a connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's their greatest aspiration, and there's nothing more tragic to the tzaddik when he loses that devikut. So he used to always give us the mashal. He said, did you ever hear of Apollo? We heard of it. We couldn't believe the rabbi heard of it. Apollo was the spaceship that went up to the Shamayim. So what happened? No, not that Apollo. The Apollo Theater. So you see over here
what happened.
He says when they got to the moon for the first time, so the people in Houston were trying to get in contact with the guys on the moon. So you hear the guys in Houston saying, Apollo, come in, Apollo. Do you hear me, Apollo? Return, Apollo. And there was no connection, there was no reaction. Even if you saw the faces of the people in Houston, they don't have a connection with the guy on the moon. There was Chabe'ah. All of a sudden, in one moment, they hear from the moon, the guy say, yes, do you hear me? Ah, you see them?
Something.
You see, that's the Subhat al-Saddiq. When there's a connection that they get between a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no greater joy. And when they don't have the connection, when it's lost, it's tragic. So he says, how do they make this connection? You pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Rabotai, Shlomo HaMelech said, very good to pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But again, you need the buffer. You're trying to connect the fire. And therefore, you need that in between item that's made up of physical and spiritual, to make the connection. So Shlomo HaMelech said, "Masir ozno meshemoa Torah." If you're not going to study Torah, gam tefilah to toeba, you won't be able to connect to tefilah. You need to, and that's why the greatest preparation for tefilah is a shiur. When a guy goes to a class before prayers, so you always thought till now you're going to go, that's it's timing. It makes sense. I pray at 7, I learn at 6, and finish, I get it out of the way. So no, there's no greater way to prepare for tefillah. First, you got to put the pot. You're setting the pot up. You need the go-between. Once a person already studies Torah for a few minutes, even before the tefillah, now already God says, okay, all the wiring is correct. You created the insulation. Now already, you can connect to me, nothing's going to happen to you. The Torah already is the in-between, the vavin tit katab. The inyan of learning Torah and before
the binding of the
before the and that's why tefillah is called. Now you can connect. If you remember a few weeks ago, you remember when the there's a story over here when the Jewish people went to fight the Emori people. You remember that story? You familiar with this, or you know, you don't have a recollection? Yeah, they went to fight. They went to fight the Emori people. No, that's right. It's further.
Right at the border.
Yes, right at the end in the Varim. And it says when the Emorim came to fight Bnei Yisrael, Rashi says an amazing Hadush. Rashi writes, when the Emorim came to fight, really it was Amalek. But Amalek disguised themselves as Emorim. You familiar with this Hadush? Emorim were not Emorim. It was Amalek. Exactly. Halfon got it. The Emorim was really Amalek, disguised as Emorim. So that she asked, why did they disguise themselves as Emorim? Because they knew the Jewish people were going to pray. This is amazing. So they said, let them pray for the wrong guy. They won't get answers. They're going to pray, save us from the Emorim. Not the Emorim, Amalek. So what did the Jewish people do? They suspected it, so they just said, save us from this enemy. Well, I learned a lot of things from this midrash. First, I learned that Amalek understands the call of tefillah.
Yes.
Which means, we don't believe in tefillah works like Amalek believes it works. Which means the whole strategy in the war in those days was to get the Jews not to pray. Because the goy knew if the Jew prays, it's over. So they went to sabotage the synagogue, sabotage the prayer. Let them put the wrong name on the Tehillim list. And instead of praying for the service of Haman ben Amedat Ha'agagi, you're praying for Emori ben whatever. And it's not going to work. So that's when they masqueraded themselves, but it backfired. So I saw one of the Mefarshim ask a bomb question. And a bomb question means a strong question. Today, say, I was in the airport. I'm sitting with a guy. Said, "Bomb question." The security came. Excuse me. This is what we say in the yeshiva. Bomb question. Sir, you can't get on the plane. The bomb question. They don't want to talk anymore. They the bomb question. They throw you off the plane. So you see over here what happened. What happened was, this is not the first time Amalek came to fight us. If you remember, Amalek came to fight us also in the Fidim, right when we came out of Egypt. The Pasuk says, "Vayavo Amalek, Vayilach Amisrael b'Fidim." There, they didn't wear masquerade party. There, they came as themselves. They hold it. Why over there you come as yourself, and over here you come as? When did they attack the second time after Aharon died? Message for Hashem. After Aharon died, they thought the Jewish people are going to be more vulnerable. So So they attacked in disguise. The last time they attacked was when we came out of Egypt. So the Mefarshim say, the first time they attacked us, where does it say? They attacked us in the Fidim. If you look on the map, you won't see any place called the Fidim. There's no place called the Fidim. The Gemara says, ah, the Fidim. Shirafu yedehem in the Torah. They weren't learning.
Wow.
Oh. They weren't learning. Shirafu yedehem in the Torah. So Amalek said, they're not learning. Let them pray all they want. It's not going to work anyway because they're not learning. Therefore, we can go straight. But they knew it. How did you know it? So you see over here, that Amalek, when he saw the Jewish people not studying Torah, they can't connect anyway. So what do I got to do? Let them pray. It's not going to work. However, after Aharon died, clearly, what was Aharon's midah? Ohev shalom, v'rodev shalom. Ohev et aviron, kareban la Torah. Aharon's midah was, let's get the, what do you think? After Aharon died, they learned? They learned Torah. Aharon, that was his only midah, to teach Torah. Once Amalek saw the people are learning Torah, they said, the tefillah is the tefillah. If they're learning, they're going to get answered. Therefore, we have to make a ruse over here to put on a masquerade. So you see over here that it's true that Torah is the key to make the connection. Now I'm explaining to you. Always when the rabbis say connection, they know what they're talking about. Make a connection. Connection means in prayer. In prayer. If you want this prayer to your tefillah to be accepted, which is a connective, that means to bind yourself, you can only do that first when you have Torah. I mean, this class over here, we're preparing ourselves for Mincha. This is the preparation for Mincha. And in between Leil Shabbat, sometimes the rabbi gets up to the Dvar Torah, that's so the Avit will be accepted. But you always need to do both. When a rabbi says Chadushim during the prayer, a couple of halachot and all that, it's in order to make that connection. You shouldn't think, oh, rabbi getting up again speaking. No, the guy doesn't stop speaking. Every time the guy's high on himself. Every time he has a chance, he grabs the pulpit. Leave us alone already. Leave us alone. Whenever I come home late on Friday night, Tanja says, well, where are you? You're so late. I said, the rabbi doesn't speak. The guy talks. He says, you're the rabbi. I said, where the rabbi is? Where the rabbi is? So you see, when the Rav is getting up and giving a derash in between, he's making your time worthwhile. You just spent 45 minutes in synagogue. But it's a wasted exercise. Because if there's no connection, so you spoke, the cell phone was dead, so you're talking on a dead cell phone for 45 minutes, so there's no connection. That Divrei Torah binds the congregation with God. Boom. It's a preservation. It's a key element. The Vavim Tzatkata. The Gemara says that when I saw Derash on this. Derash says, Vayira elav Hashem be'elonem mamre v'hu yoshev petach ha'ohen. It says, and God appeared to Abraham in Elonem Mamre. And where was Abraham? Do Yosef Petah Ha'ohen. So the Nefarshim say like this. Vayira Elav Hashem. God appeared to Abraham. How could it be? How could a human being tolerate the Or Ein Sof? How could a human being get to a level, Vayira Elav Hashem? How did Abraham Avinu burn to death? How is it possible that he received a mahazeh, a revelation like this? Vayira elav Hashem be'elonim mamreh. It says, you know why? V'hu yoshev petach ha'ohel. What's the ohel? V'yakov ishtam yoshev ohalim. The ohel represents the oil of Torah, the studying of the learning. Because he's yoshev petach ha'ohel, because Avraham Avinu was careful to sit in the petah and the bet midrash of the oil of Torah, Vayira elav Hashem, so he's able to tolerate it because the Torah is the in between. That's the depth of that pasuk. The Gemara says, Ish v'isha shezachu shechina. So that if a man and a wife merit to live properly, Shekhinah joins them. And the Hachamim say, Ish has a Yud, and Isha has a He. So that's already Yud Ke. That's the big news. Ish and Isha, Shezachu Shekhinah b'nehem. The holy Shekhinah is resting in their midst. But the question is, and this is very important for couples that are married, when Shekhinah is in your midst, there's Shalom Bayit, there's Beracha, there's Parnasad, all the troubles begin once the Shekhinah leaves. When the Shekhinah is there, everybody can live properly. However, if you take the Yud away from Ish, what does it spell?
Ish.
You take the hair away from Isha, Ish, not Ish, Ish, finish. That's fire. So the Yudke comes in and makes it the buffer. Makes the Shalom, that fire and fire can live together. The question is, but how do you bring the Yudke? They don't tell you that. They just tell you, Ish Vishah Shezachu. Shezachu but what? How do you bring it in? No, just give her a ring. I have the condition here. It comes down. No, it doesn't work like that. It's nothing for nothing. No, just because she said, I do, remember the Shekhinah comes down. Follow the rule throughout the Rabotai. When a husband goes and studies Torah, and the lady, of course, is pushing him to go study Torah. The lady is the one that gives him the chizuk to go learn. Oh, now already the couple is able to tolerate Shekhinah. You want Shekhinah to come down to your house. Hey, this house is going to burn. Hashem v'shalom. How are you going to bring the Shekhinah down to your house? The Shekhinah is, even to come down to the world, had to filter itself so much. Now you want to bring the Shekhinah into this confined area of walls of a house? That's going to tolerate it. Oh, so you better make a pot. You better make a big pot. So when the lady allows her husband to go study Torah, what she's really allowing is Shekhinah to come into the house. So now the house is filled with Torah. Once the house is filled with Torah, nothing's going to happen. The Shekhinah can settle without any damages. Therefore, it's key. Matza isha matza tov. It says in the pasuk somewhere, "Matza isha, matza tov." Lo matza yoter tov. They say. That's a joke. But they say, "Matza isha, matza tov." So the question is, what is the tov? En tov ela Torah. Sheneimar ki lekach tov natati lechem torati al ta'azobu. Matza Isha, the true Matza Isha is what? What you're learning. A marriage where there's no learning, the Shekhinah cannot rest. Not only a marriage, nobody. But of course, you can't marry. I don't know why they don't teach that. When a guy goes to Shalom Bayit, they teach them all the psychology, they confuse them with all these theories and stuff like that. But nobody ever tells the Hatan, are you learning? Yeah, I didn't come for learning. I came for Shalom Bayit. You're going to tell me what you came for. I'm going to tell you what you came for. You came for me advice, or are you giving me the advice? I don't take advice. I give advice. You have to go study Torah. What does Torah got to do with you? Go study Torah for 2 weeks. Then come back. You'll see. That's different Shalom Bayit. And all of a sudden, the guy says, oh, changed my life. What happened? The Shekhinah came into the guy's house. Once the Shekhinah comes in, God's the best referee. God's the best arbitrator. God's the best metavich. That's why it says Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov. Isha and Tov must go together. And the lady also Isha, but the lady's not learning. But the lady gets credit. She sent the husband out to study Torah. That's her credit. Chabaruch Alev Hashem used to say, not only is it her credit, she gets even more credit. How can she get more credit? Just because the husband goes to study, she says, you can go study from 8 to 9. He says, okay, beautiful. He leaves late. He leaves 8:05. He doesn't leave on time, but he's late. Until he gets to the yeshiva and finds parking, it's 8:15. He goes inside, until he finds the book, 8:20. He sits down, he learns a couple of words, he starts to fall asleep. He tells Hablutani and then the coffee, the cafe. He goes into the Kabel Hashem. He goes into the coffee room, makes his coffee. He talks to his friend a little. He comes back, he learns a little more. He tells the guy, Asheri Yatzah, from the coffee. He goes to Asheri Yatzah. So, in an hour learning, how much did he learn? 15 minutes. How much credit does he get? 15 minutes. How much does the wife get?
Hour.
1 hour. She says, you squandered an hour, that's your business. I gave you an hour of my life. You get met. I get the potential of what the hour is. That's what Chabaruch used to say. Anyway, that's either here or there. That's either here or there. The point is that a good marriage must be predicated on what? On Torah. This is what the pasuk that we began today's shi'ur is interesting. V'tovu ohalecha Yaakov v'shkonotecha Yisrael. Bil'am, when he was looking at the Jewish people, he saw the Jewish home. He saw the Jewish home with Shalom Bayit. He saw there was a certain aura, Shekhinah, coming out of the Jewish home. Bil'am was a prophet, right? He was trying to understand, where did this come from? How come our homes don't look like this? How come the Jewish home has such a different complexion than all other homes in the world? So with his penetrating eye, with his mono vision that he had, he was able to come to the truth. Because if he didn't come to the truth, Torah wouldn't have wrote it. Torah doesn't write lies. If the Torah's writing it, that means his assessment was a proper assessment. We wouldn't be saying this at our weddings if it wasn't a proper assessment. You say, hey, because Bil'am says we put it in our wedding. You say, what do you mean? Bucelli we put in our wedding, so we can put Bil'am in our weddings also. No, there's a difference. The explanation is like this. He looked at the Jewish house and he said, Matovu ohalecha Yaakov. The Jewish home is predicated on what? On the Ohel Yaakov first. What's the Ohel Yaakov? The Yaakov Ishtam Yosef Ohalim. He saw that the key of the Jewish home was what? Matobu Ohalecha Yaakov. And because of that, Mishkenotecha Yisrael. That's how the home can turn into a Mishkan when the Shekhinah is able to rest. It doesn't start as a Mishkan. It has to start as Ohel Yaakov. Once already it's predicated on Ohel Yaakov, then Mishkan Yisrael is a shoo-in, it's an automatic. But if there's not going to be oil, Yaakov, person just thinks, no, because I buy my wife flowers like Mot Shabbat, that's the Mishkan. That's the Mishkan, that'll last for a few hours. A few hours, then you're back to Hazra Hanan Shehanuta. It goes back to its old way. In order to keep a stable and a sturdy marriage, there must be learning. Today, Baruch Hashem, they have classes for the woman as well. They never get over. It's about normal classes. Not where they brainwash them and make them crazy to fight with their husbands. We're talking about where it's a normal Torah. I'm giving you an example. You tell me, my wife went to a class. She came home, she makes me crazy now. She doesn't let me eat. She doesn't let me watch me TV. I can't go to my car to get her nothing. Everything has to be in moderation. Where the lady goes, she comes home properly. Where the Torah doesn't ruin the marriage. As a shalom, of course not. But when there's a proper Torah administered by a proper rabbi, a prescription has to be done properly. There's a lot of quacks out there that are giving overdose. The guy goes overdose, he loses. You have to give the proper prescription at the right moment. Whoever has to be given at the right moment. If that's predicated on that, then it's true what will be happening. Matovu alecha Yaakov.
Beautiful.